Hello again. This is Pastor Robert Venable. Welcome to Let's Talk About Jesus. If you're a frequent listener to this broadcast here on WMAF, we welcome you back again. If this is your first time tuning in, it is my prayer that God will enrich your life today with His Holy Word. The Bible's not just a history book, or a rule book for right living, or a story book for entertainment. It is a book that reveals the character and the person of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. A God so great and so mysterious, invisible yet creator of all that is seen, a God of awesome power and holiness, who loves fallen man with awesome love and tender mercy. We're so glad that you have tuned in to this broadcast today, and we pray that if you are a frequent listener, as we said, that you will continue to tell other people about this broadcast if it's a blessing to you. And if you were a first-time listener today, indeed we would welcome you to continue to stay tuned to this broadcast. It could be that the Lord has something especially for you today. That's not holy hype from a preacher trying to get people to listen to this broadcast. That is not the purpose of this broadcast, is just to build a listening audience for some ulterior reason. We genuinely believe that when our Lord told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that He would go with us. The New Testament actually says when the apostles and disciples of Jesus did that very thing, the Lord went with them, confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. So one of the greatest signs of all that God's anointing is upon the message of the gospel is people whose lives have been changed and transformed by it. People who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. So if you're a Christian today, we pray that as you grow in the knowledge of the Lord, that your faith will grow accordingly, and that your love for Him would actually increase. I believe all of us can love Jesus more. I am falling in love with Him more and more and more. I've been a Christian since I was 21 years of age, came to Christ at 12. I went quickly away from Him when I hit junior high school and high school, but thank God I came back to Him, and I have been a Christian for all of these years. I'm now 60 years of age, and I'm looking back on my life. I am so appreciative of having the Lord as my Savior, as my friend, as my confidant, as my healer, as my helper. I'm so grateful to be saved today. I have no regrets. I have stood by as a pastor since I was 27 years of age, and I have looked back over the times that I've stood by deathbeds, and I have heard where people are dying, and I have been with them in the last moments. I've heard a lot of repentant prayers, people repenting over things to prepare themselves to stand before the Lord. I've heard a lot of people express remorse over the way they had lived their life or some of the things that they had done. And thankfully, we could put that under the blood of Jesus and have that great cleansing. But I have never heard anyone repent or have remorse over following Jesus through their lifetime. It is one of the most wonderful lives that you can ever live. It's a life where you are you have God's help in this life and eternal life in the world to come. You can't beat that. It's the greatest blessing that I know of. And His peace that passes understanding, that transcends our circumstances, our emotions, we can trust in Him, cast our burden on Him. Oh, it's good, my brother and my sister, to know Christ today. And if you are not in a place of faith that you can cast your burden on Him, pray that you'll listen to the Word of God so that your faith can grow and you can experience that peace. If you're not in a fellowship relationship with Jesus, so that joy of His presence in your life, you know, the Bible said in His presence there's fullness of joy, and at His right hand there is pleasure forevermore. Hallelujah. So we pray today you'll stay tuned. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, it's hard to believe anyone hasn't heard of Him. We want you to know accurately, clearly who he is and what he came to do and what his concerns are concerning your very life, what he's able to do in your life today. One thing I want to make very clear, and Jesus said it himself, so I'm going to quote him, "I didn't come into the world to condemn it, but to seek and to save that which was lost." I want you to know today that even though you would certainly face a judgment if you died without your sins forgiven, you certainly have a God who cares for you, loves you, doesn't want to condemn you, but wants to save you and make you his very own and seal you. Hallelujah. Oh, no wonder the gospel is called good news. That's what gospel basically means. It means good news. And this is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Pray you'll stay tuned. And if you have discovered this radio station for the first time, WMAF, we are on every Tuesday at 2 p.m. right here. And there's some great classic programming here on WMAF. This is a unique station. We're glad to be on it because we feel that that we have a select audience here. And people listen to so many stations that are just mirroring other stations. But this is a unique and different station. But it's a good uniqueness. It's a good difference. And we're grateful to be on the air here today. We want to pray today that as we go to God's Word and we study again on the subject of the present priestly ministry of Jesus, and that you will be blessed by this today. We are sustained, literally, because of his intercession. Now we're going to take our reading from Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 32. And if you feel alone, you feel abandoned, you feel like God could never care for you, love you because of any personal failures that are guilt within, I want you to hear this message today. I want you to take courage in your heart because God cares about you. There's someone in your corner today, and we want you to know more about him. Heavenly Father, bless your word today as we go to the Bible, your book, to reveal your Savior and to reveal the great Father who sent him to die for us. For in seeing him, we indeed see you. Father, we praise you today. Let every heart be open to your word and flow through me. In fact, flow in spite of me. I'm nowhere near good enough to present you. I'm not eloquent enough. There's nothing in me that can anyway show forth fully the glory that's in you, but the Holy Spirit can. And I pray that great work will be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I used to say there's a lot of people that can preach the gospel better, but there's no one that can preach a better gospel. And that's what keeps me preaching. Hallelujah. I love the Lord today. If you have your Bible again, we're going back to our springboard scripture that we use to go forward in this study of the present priestly ministry of Jesus. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. It's Christ's own intercessory prayer for Simon Peter, a man who followed him devotedly, but had stumblings and bumblings along the way, had to deepen his own commitment to Christ to become a stable man of faith. But he did that. He did it particularly when he failed, but Christ did not fail him. And because of a renewed faith in Jesus' faithfulness, not in his own ability to be faithful, and a deepening of his love commitment because of the mercy that was shown him, even though he didn't deserve it, this great portion of scripture that I'm going to read to you tells you why Peter's faith did not fail, even though he did, and why he went on to be a great apostle of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And a great follower and a great inspiration to us all. Verse 31 and 32 of Luke 22 says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as the wheat." I'm going to stop right there again and say the phrase "have you" in the Greek is plural, and literally to have all of you, all the disciples, not just Peter, And that would reach down to all of us, and not just us who are the followers of Jesus. Satan wants to destroy you today if you're not a Christian. But you can come to Christ to be washed in His blood and covered with a covering of His Spirit today, and sealed and kept safe until He takes you home. I want you to know that today. You have a great enemy in the devil, but you have a great ally in Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to verse 32. Christ said to Peter, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." I want to read it from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Simon, Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him, out of the power and keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain. But I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail. And when you yourself are turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren." Oh, that is such a wonderful, wonderful realization and revelation that even through our personal tests and failures, we can come through that with God's help, and we can be used of God mightily to help other people going through things. One thing Simon Peter discovered, that faith in his faith would not sustain him, no matter how wonderfully he tried to build his own faith. But faith in the faithfulness of God would bring his faith to the level of bringing him victory, and his faith to the level of sustaining him in any test, and even the test of personal failure. You know, Peter denied the Lord three times and had committed just hours before to never deny him. But he failed when the pressure was on. And in his failure, I'm sure he felt the guilt that all of us would feel. But Jesus loved him, and Jesus was faithful to him. And in that great mercy that was shown Simon Peter, his faith was actually strengthened, not diminished because of his failure. He looked to a faithful God who lifted him up and fell deeply in love with him. Two great things were achieved out of Satan's attempt to destroy Simon Peter. Number one, his faith grew exceedingly in the faithfulness of his God, and it brought stability to his faith, so he would no longer have faith in his faith, but faith in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I'll tell you, there's things that can touch your life that can cause your faith to waver, to shake under the impact of certain events. But one thing is for sure, God's faithfulness will not fail you. If you will just cry out to Him with the faith you have, He will respond to you. The second great thing that happened was his love for Jesus deepened to a self-sacrificing commitment of his life to the Lord. Peter fell in love with this one who loved him unconditionally in spite of himself and in spite of his failure. That's what makes me love the Lord so much today. I'm not walking a tightrope trying to stay in His good graces. I have a safety net called mercy and grace to catch me if I fall. And Christians are not overcomers because we never stumble. We're overcomers because we just keep on getting up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. This is not a wind sprint, this race we're in. This is an endurance race. And they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. We keep our trust in Christ all the way, and we're going to make it from the least of us to the greatest of us. If you've come to know Jesus as your Savior, Jesus is in your corner. Friend, I want you to know today that if the Lord Himself is praying for me, I take great courage in my heart that I'm going to make it, because I know His prayer is powerful. His prayer is prayed in the very presence of God. There's good brethren and there's good sisters that I trust with enormous trust, and I don't hesitate to call on them to pray. But the greatest intercessor I have praying for me is my Savior, Jesus Christ. Just to know that He is personal enough with us to stand in the presence of God, present His wounded body as the basis for God receiving and accepting us and praying for us, gives me courage today. When I am weak, He stands up in my behalf. When I am challenged, He stands up in my behalf. He's our great high priest, praise God, hallelujah. I am so grateful to present him to you today, amen. And I want to talk to you about the great privilege of having Jesus as our high priest. What an honor it is. If you come to God through Jesus Christ and make him your high priest, there's some fantastic benefits available to you. And the first one is that all of our sins are forgiven. The whole system of the priesthood revealed our sin and God's holiness and wrath. However, God provided a way to be made right with him. This was through the Levitical priesthood, but now is through his Son, who can save completely all those who come to him. The Bible said that he is able to save them to the uttermost who come to God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for them. Not only is our sins forgiven, but Jesus now stands as our ally, as our advocate, as our barrister. He stands in the presence of God, amen, in our behalf. And so the great benefit of having a high priest like this is fundamentally our sins are forgiven. But also, because our sins are forgiven, we can relate to God confident of his acceptance. Ephesians chapter 1, there's a great revelation of who we are in Christ. And it says, in whom we have been made accepted in the Beloved. God accepts us in his Son. He accepts us with his Son to the degree that he now calls us sons as well. And the Bible said if we're sons of God, then we're heirs of God. And if we're heirs of God, then we are joint heirs with Jesus. I still can't get over that. I don't feel worthy of being a joint heir with Jesus. But yet, through the blood of Christ and his priestly ministry, I've been made, brought into that position. God has accepted me into the royal family. If you're a Christian, God has accepted you. And if you're not a Christian, God wants to accept you in his Son. As many as believed upon him, John's gospel said, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. This is not power, the same word in the Greek as you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That is dunamis, that word, miracle working ability. This power is legal authority. It's the word for authority. He authorizes us to become the bona fide, legalized children of the Most High God. We relate to God as Father from that point forward. We can cry unto him, Abba, Father. Something that only Christ could legitimately use because he was the only begotten sons of God. But the Bible said because of what he came and did, he's brought many sons unto glory. Hallelujah. That means you and I can become the very children of God and be accepted in Jesus Christ today. Amen. That is, you know, it's hard for me to even go on past this point because there is so much in this. Jesus said, when you pray, acknowledge this new way of relating to God. And when you pray, pray like this. When they ask him to teach them to pray, our Father, which is in heaven. We start our whole prayer approach to God with an acknowledgement of a brand new relationship with him. Because our sins are forgiven, we can come to God, accepted into his royal family as his very sons and daughters, and we can address the Creator of the universe and the Judge of all flesh as our Heavenly Father. Oh, friend of mine, we never have to worry about whether or not God will accept us or reject us because Christ's death was big enough to pay for all our sins and because he will always apply that death to our sins. We never have to be afraid of God. This is the key to a dynamic relationship with God. We may boldly approach his throne of grace. The scripture actually says, come boldly before the throne of grace. That means to come with confidence in your standing with him, your confidence in your acceptance of him. Hey, to come boldly before the throne of grace, it humbles me that I'm accepted, but I still come. And you know, I said before, I'm not worthy of that, and I still am not worthy of that. but the blood of Jesus has made me acceptable unto Him. Hallelujah. And I would be foolish not to move into that great benefit and blessing. Come boldly before the throne of grace, that access to God that grace has provided for us. Hallelujah. That we might receive grace and mercy to help us in the time of any need, because we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We have an understanding Lord and Master who is willing and able to help you and to help me. That's what Christians lean on. If there's a victorious Christian that you know, if you have victory, as I said before, know that it is because someone is praying for you. Someone told me at church Sunday that I pray for you every morning. And I got to thinking about that afterwards, and my eyes welled with tears and my heart swelled with gratitude, because there's great power in intercession. Hallelujah. We can not only relate to God personally, but we can relate to God anywhere and at any time. We don't have to go to a special sanctuary at a special time on a special day to relate to God. Through Christ, we may enter God's presence in our bedroom, on a walk, on our way to work. There's absolutely no place or time that we don't have personal access to God. This enables our relationship with God to become the central relationship in our life rather than a peripheral religious issue. I'm afraid there are too many people that God is in the peripheral. He's on the sidelines. He's something we do once a week, maybe for an hour on Sunday, and then for the rest of the week, we don't take advantage of the privilege, and we don't even see the great spiritual need of having this kind of relationship with the Lord. Sometimes we find ourselves overwhelmed because of life's challenges, responsibilities, and circumstances. And yet the Bible said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's not just that God has this joy gun and He zaps us with it on occasion. No, that's not what that's all about. That scripture is found in the context of Israel coming back out of bondage and coming back to rebuild the holy city and hearing the law after all those years of not hearing God's word brought unto them and being pricked at their heart and beginning to weep because they begin to see how far they had drifted from their God. And then being declared that this very broken heart over how far they had drifted, this very repentance was bringing a reconciliation and a restored relationship with Him. And in that context, in Nehemiah's chapter, in Ezra, the high priest in Nehemiah, he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't hang your head. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's the joy of restored relationship. It's the joy of reconciliation. And in the New Testament especially, it's the joy of being able to experience personally the presence of God in your very life. Christians are not just handling an ancient book, reading ancient history. We are serving a very real and present God. And the Bible said that He is a present help in the time of trouble. In the time of trouble, we draw upon the promise of His presence with us. You know, the disciples were so shaken by seeing Jesus taken and seeming so helpless. They saw His mighty power when He told the wind and the waves to be still and there was a great calm. They saw His power when He multiplied the fish and loaves. They saw His power when He healed every kind of sickness. They saw His absolute authority when he cast the devils out of the demoniac of the Gadarenes. They knew the power. In fact, at one point they asked Him to call power down and destroy those that had rejected Him so soundly. And yet Jesus said, I didn't come to do that. I didn't come to judge and to hurt, to harm because of sin. I came to heal and to help, to seek and to save. Thank God that's His mission to this world, was to save the lost. But they saw the awesome power that He possessed, yet they saw Him led away as a lamb dumb before His shearers. They saw Him placed on the cross. They saw Him bleed, suffer, become weak unto death, and literally die. They saw his battered, broken body taken down from that cross, and they were afraid that they were next. And they ran literally for their life. They hid themselves. And after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to those quaking, shaking disciples. And he told them, "Fear not, it is I." And he told them something else that would give them the courage and strength to face whatever they may face. And some of them even a martyr's death. Most of them, in fact. He told them, "Lo, I am with you always." He gave them their mandate, their great commission to go into all the world and preach to every creature. And he said, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I will never leave you." The Greek is so very strong. It says, "I will never, no, never leave you, nor forsake you." He was emphatic that I will be there. I will be there. And it said they went and preached the gospel, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We still need the Lord to work with us, confirming the word. We need to see his great salvation in the changed lives that come to know him as their Savior. We need to see his great deliverance, his great healing in our day. I believe with all of my heart God wants to work with us to help mankind in every area of human need, to confirm his gospel, to confirm his Son, to confirm and commend his great love for all of us today. Praise the Lord. And I encourage you today to open your life. If you've thought, "I can't live the Christian life," you thought absolutely right. You can't. But if you open your heart and receive Christ, and he comes in and begins to pray for you, and the Holy Spirit comes in and he begins to empower you, you can do all things, as the scripture said, through Christ which strengtheneth you. You can endure. You can overcome. You can be delivered. You can be set free. Your very desires can be changed from unrighteous desires. It doesn't mean you're not tempted, but in the core of your being, there can come such a change that you'll begin to love the things you thought were so boring. You'll begin to love the study of Scripture. You'll begin to love times in prayer, because they're times of sweet communion with the one who loves you and with the one that you are coming to love. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everything can change if you will but open your heart and invite Jesus Christ to come in. If you're a Christian today and you've had stumblings and you've had even abject failures and you're wondering how Christ feels about you, well, he stands to intercede for you. That's how he feels. He still has confidence in his Spirit in you, his plan for you, his work within you. And he wants you to rise up today. Take advantage of the opportunity to come boldly before the throne of grace. He wants to restore your soul. If he hadn't restored David, David would have been absolutely crushed by all of his failures. But God, in mercy, raised him up. Now, I'm so grateful today to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm so grateful today to have this privilege to spend this time with you and declare him to you. And it's my great honor to tell you again today that you have a great, great ally in Jesus Christ. He's in your corner, friend. He cares about you. He wants to show his faithfulness. He wants to show his great love. He wants to touch your life with tender mercy, powerful grace, and bring a change within. Christian life doesn't start by just changes on the outside through our repentance, but it begins with a great change on the inside because of regeneration. His Spirit coming to abide within your spirit and life. Oh, what a wonderful saving God that we serve. Well, our time is just about gone today, and it seems like we just really begin to scratch the surface of this great thing. This is the present priestly ministry of Jesus Christ. We're not on our own down here. We have the Holy Spirit with us. We have representation in heaven. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Somebody up there doesn't just like you, friend. Somebody up there loves you. Laid himself down on a cross and stretched himself out to become your Lord, to become your Savior, to become your very best friend and confidant. Oh, how I love Jesus. So easy to love him. So easy to serve him today. Till next week, this is Pastor Robert saying, come back. Let's talk about Jesus.